It's time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed representing Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we sure are glad that you've joined us today. You know, we don't just say that, we really mean it. We are glad you've joined us today, but be prepared to be challenged. Some of the stuff that we've been covering lately is some difficult topics for some people, and it may make us uncomfortable. It may be a little painful, but I'll tell you, it is necessary to go through some of the things, some of the challenges, some of the past that we've been through in order for Christ to bring healing. He wants to heal. He is waiting to bring restoration to our dry bones. We need to be open to Him, and that may mean going through some difficult things. And that being said, I want to introduce to you my old co-host in Las Vegas, Dr. Dan Smucker. Welcome to Radio Friendships, Dan.
Thank you.
Man, it is so good to hear from you again. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. We really miss you.
Well, that's mutual, Jeff. It's good to have you invite me.
Well, you heard the introduction. We are planning on talking about a difficult subject for some people, and this is an area that you have some knowledge about.
There's no subject, I think, that can divide listeners and people on the street faster than bringing up the A word.
The A word is?
Abortion. We start talking about abortion and genocide, child sacrifice, euthanasia. It seems like we shirk from even the subject. But it's something that happens so frequently that I think for us not to address it is a heinous omission.
We as the body of Christ need to be informed. I'm not saying that we need to be all wrapped up in politics, although there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to be informed. The times have changed that, well, let's face it, we can't trust the media today for truth. So we need some good Christian media out there to inform people, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here today. Let's talk a little bit about abortion. I mean, the statistics speak for themselves. Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in America?
Well, unfortunately, in America, we still have a propensity to execute one-third of all of the children that are conceived. Mm. And so it would seem strange that we would condone anything like that and have such a peaceful coexistence with the neighborhood abortion mill and act like that's just how it is and it's legal. But as we know, the legality of something doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions that we hear tossed around so often, in fact, it's tossed around more often than a California Frisbee, is when does life begin? We know that biology and chemistry incontrovertibly agree that there's a continuum from conception to death, and that we as Christians know that life is a gift from God, and that He's the author and finisher of life, and that anyone else choosing to intercede in that and interdict in life is taking a tremendous responsibility upon themselves. And for us to ask God to bless a nation that's executing its own offspring takes us right back into the times of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zephaniah, and that's pretty brash for us to think that He will continue to bless a nation that willingly executes children that He's given us. So what? I agree with your statement that we really need healing, and I agree with your statement that that implies not just dealing with abortion, but dealing with politics and everything else, art, music, everything.
Well, to tie in a little bit for us, the Old Testament references that you were talking about and modern abortion, make the connection for us, please.
Well, look at Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, says, "Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 20, verse 2 says, "Speak to the Israelites. Any Israelite or any alien living in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. The people of the community are to stone him." Well, we know that Molech was a pagan god who had a requirement of child sacrifice. Leviticus 20, verse 3 says, "I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from his people. For by giving his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name." 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5, it says, He followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Well, we know that Ashtaroth was another goddess of child sacrifice. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7, it says, on a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, another so-called deity of child sacrifice. So in exchange, what we see is a pattern of exchange of me giving up my offspring for some promise in the world. And that same kind of exchange we see with demonic activity in all other areas of our life.
Yeah.
We will trade what seems to be good for what's best, and what's always best is God's will. And then in Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For they have forsaken me and made this place of foreign gods. They have burned sacrifices to gods that they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as offerings to Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord. People will no longer call this place Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hemon, but the Valley of Slaughter." There's so many references, Jeff. It's just a continued reference to honoring life, and in honoring life, we're acknowledging the God of life, the Creator.
Absolutely.
Instead of going for destruction and thinking that we can wreak havoc on the earth and think that God doesn't hear or see. I'm very thankful to God that there's not abortion in heaven, that when he saves us completely.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, there's somebody listening right now saying, hey, wait a minute. This is nothing like a child sacrifice. I'm not giving my little child over, I'm not dropping him in a volcano. This is a fetus. That child in the womb is a living being. We have the reference of Elizabeth as she approaches, where they're both pregnant. Mary comes up, and the baby leaped in her womb, and it even talks about the angel saying, you are with child. Didn't say you were with fetus. David,
yes.
Talking about when he was fearfully and wonderfully made, talking about when he was in the womb. He didn't even have a microscope, and he could figure that one out. God has done the making.
Yes. You know, as you know, I've worked in the mental health and substance abuse fields for 30 years. And part of the schizophrenic thinking that I see in our nation is to have somebody that goes and shops for maternity clothing, realizing I'm going to be giving birth to a baby. And somebody going to the abortuary down the street, realizing that they also are doing something with the baby.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing thing that we allow that to go side by side. And often it's our silence that appears to the masses that we are condoning such a horrible, horrible evil to continue in our society, and we remain silent.
Well, Dan, let's be fair, too. A lot of it is misinformation. I mean, a lot of young women are coming up being misinformed and truly believing what they're seeing on the media. I mean, even simple verbiage that is used.
Absolutely. You know, I agree. You know, there's lawsuits against Planned Parenthood for deliberate deception for the case of money. We know that Planned Parenthood has been breaking the law repeatedly, stating that nobody has to know, they don't have to report anything about having an abortion with an underage minor.
Yeah.
We know that they're starting to be exposed more, but we continue to fund them. And yes, there is a lot of deception, but isn't that exactly what Satan does, is deceive?
Yeah, this is an interesting fact, too. In California, girls under the age of 18 still have to have permission from their parents to get their ears pierced, but they don't need the same permission to get an abortion. Is that crazy or what?
That's sad. That's very sad. We just really need healing in this nation. There is no healing apart from Christ.
Amen. Okay, now, Dr. Dan, you were talking about Planned Parenthood, and I have some statistics for us, and they're anything but dry. Now, these statistics aren't something that we've drummed up to support our side, not by a chance. These are from Planned Parenthood, their family planning perspectives. These are their statistics. Worldwide, the number of abortions per year is approximately 42 million. Per day, it's 115,000. 115,000 a day. Now, you say, well, that's worldwide. What about the United States? Number of abortions per year, 1.37 million. Number of abortions per day, approximately 3,700. We're talking about 3,700 children are aborted every day in the United States.
That's just thinking of some of the impact that that has on our nation. As you're aware, illegal immigration debate rages across the nation. We have approximately 12 million, I believe this is a statistic, for illegal immigrants in the nation. And part of the complaint is that if we were to expel folks that are illegally in our country, that we would lose a lot of the labor pool. But we have executed a large segment of our potential labor pool. And I don't mean to sound so calloused. It's just that God has a design that actually works. And when we go against it, we can expect some serious negative ramifications from our choices.
Absolutely. And you know what? As you were talking, I was scanning through some more of these statistics, and it breaks your heart. It really does. And you know what? We have to take a look at this and see if certain areas aren't being targeted as well. And let's let the statistics speak for themselves. It's not our personal opinion. Black women are more than three times as likely as white women to have an abortion. Hispanic women, roughly two times more. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's certainly a target. Even back to the founding of Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger, and now we're up to her grandson who has set up an abortion mill in Harlem, which is no accident. They had the Genocide Project, which they really tried to conceal, but they were targeting minorities. And Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist who actually had one of Hitler's henchmen write in her periodical called The Woman Rebel. And one of her slogans was, more from the fit and less from the unfit. Well, in her mind, minorities were unfit. So her eugenic policies that were well received in Nazi Germany have unfortunately been adopted by the ill-informed and misinformed in our nation as well.
Here's another misinformation that has been been thrown out there so often like it's a fact, you know, that we need abortions because of rape and incest or because of poor health problems that the woman might die. Well, let's look at this. 1% of all abortions occur because of rape or incest. Only 6% of abortions occur because of potential health problems regarding either the mother or the child. That's only 7%.
Well, I think that there's another element to that, and that is, where in Western law do we punish a child for the sins of the father?
Great point.
And what do we have to offer somebody that's been a victim? And I think that that's a large segment that's been missing. And, of course, in my experience, the mainstream media has largely ignored it. And the Christian media has really jumped on the idea that we need to offer something better than execution of somebody's child if they're in distress. And I don't know a better place for anyone to receive comfort and compassion than the church. I believe that's God's arms to wrap around people that are hurting and in crisis.
Absolutely. You know, we just did a interview not too long ago with my wife who had an abortion when she was younger, and she was very candid and very open about that. And I asked her, well, what about all the anti-abortion slogans and bumper stickers you see out there? Did that seem to help? Did it make any difference in your life? And she said, no, it didn't really seem to do much for me except for bring more shame. That's one part. We need to stand against the tide of mediocrity, the tide of complacency on this issue, but still reach out to the hearts of individuals that may be considering it or may have had abortions. Would you agree with that?
Yes. You know, we need to expose the atrocity, and at the same time, we need to show that being a Christian isn't casting stones. So there's a delicate balance here. Do we not show somebody the horror of what an abortion really is? Well, I think we need to do that. Is it wrong for us to show photos of what an abortion actually has done? Well, I think we need to do that as well. But do we need to be ready to take the fallout from that? Of course we do. We better be ready to embrace people that are really hurting and realize that there's going to be a whiplash of anger. At first, realizing that they've been betrayed and deceived, and secondly, thinking that they are stuck and that there is no alternative. And we have to be ready to point to Christ as the alternative.
What would be the most effective way for us to put our faith in action and take a stand against abortion? How should we do that?
I think there's a lot of avenues to take with that, Jeff. I think that if we see people that are in prayer vigils at an abortion mill, you have 5 minutes, go join them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you can afford to send any money to those organizations that are constantly taking stands against abortion, break into your wallet, break into your purse. Send some money to those that are willing to take a stand. I think we need to write to the media whenever we see that abortion is being accepted as an alternative to helping people. Send a letter to the editor. Call that newspaper. Call that TV station. Tell them you're not going to watch as long as they're going to do that. If you see somebody is advertising and supporting an agency like Planned Parenthood or they're taking funds, don't shop with them.
Yeah.
You know, the abortion industry relies on money, and that's what they're about. They are not concerned about the welfare of women. They're concerned about money. And when they start to get cut off, you can start to see the head of that dragon rolling on the ground. And you'll hear the whiplash rolling all the way through America. It's the church that's going to win the victory, not the media.
Yeah.
But we can pray, we can write, we can vote. I do not see how anybody can vote for someone as a Christian who is endorsing and pushing abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, all of those things that are a stench in the nostrils of heaven, and say that that's justifiable because they want some change.
Exactly.
What change are we looking for? Are we looking for a change back to the days of Moloch and Baal, Astaroth and Astarte?
Well, you know what, Dr. Dan? At the beginning of the program, I was talking a little bit about politics, and there's a lot of people, they would say, politics and religion, they just don't mix. Well, I would tend to disagree with that, especially on this issue. Now, they're trying to draw it into a political agenda, but it is a moral issue. And, you know, when we vote for people to represent us that are making the laws that are affecting abortions or killing of children, you know, we're actually voting on what they believe. So beliefs in politics, they can go hand in hand. We need to get involved with those that are making the laws. We need to be effective communicators of what we want as a nation. I don't think that's happening. I think we got left out. I think there's a lukewarmness. Yeah, I'll say lukewarmness. There's a lukewarmness happening in our nation where the Christians feel like whatever they do, it's not going to make a difference. That's far from the truth. We have a president that just got up and talked about different religions. Oh, we all read different texts. We all have different beliefs, but no religion preaches hate. And then he went on to say, never in any religion is it okay to kill an innocent human being.
That's very ironic.
This president just approved the Mexico City agreement that requires us as taxpayers to fund abortions overseas.
You know, not just that, he also received the highest rating in history from NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, and that's not an accident. The concept of Christians not being involved in politics is absurd. When we vote, we have an opportunity to vote. And to me, and what I've told many folks in the past is, voting is offering a prayer up to God on who you would like to be and rule over you. Well, of course, we want God first, but God has also instituted governments among men, and that's clear in the book of Romans if someone is upset by that statement. But to say that I'm not going to be involved in politics because it's against my faith, you're involved in politics anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to avoid it. You're subject to the laws of the land. And so if you see unjust laws, to stand along with those and say that that's fine with me, because that's just the laws and things are going to work out anyway, that's also to give a code of silent affirmation to an oppressor and a tyrant. I don't want to do that with my maker.
Amen.
I'd rather be a voice.
Amen. Well, Dan, we only have a few minutes left here. Actually, I think that we need to have you back tomorrow, because this is going to lead into another interesting subject that we have an awful lot to share with our listeners. You won't want to miss this. Dan, can you join us again tomorrow?
I'd like that. Thank you.
Okay, but before we go, I want to share one more statistic with you. It is estimated that 43% of all women will have at least one abortion by the time they're 45 years old. Take a look around you. There's possibility that you have a lot of friends that have been through an abortion, and they need your help. They need your love. They need your understanding. They need to know that God can forgive all things, and He wants to forgive them. That would bring Him great joy to be able to forgive someone that is all tied up, feels so alone, and wrapped up in shame and guilt. we as a church get to be an extension of that love, and that should be a privilege to us. Do you have any last thoughts before we go, Dan?
No, I think you brought up a really good point, Jeff. Unfortunately, I think this topic just irritates people so fast that a lot of people close their ears. But the Spirit of the Lord says, let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Mm-hmm. And we know that our God is a God of love. And we know that abortion is not an act of love. So we need to pray for both men and women. It's certainly not just women that are affected, although they are targeted. Men are targeted as well. It's an opportunity for men to be irresponsible. And the abortion trade has certainly jumped on that. So we need to make ourselves available and remember to reach out and to be open and to hear and expect a lot of pain when you know that someone has gone through the trauma of an abortion. The effects have certainly cascaded down to our culture, and it's a tremendous healing that we're in need of. But it's not going to start until we turn to Christ.
Amen. One other thing before we go, Dr. Dan, and that's what we call him on the radio program, so I'm sorry you're stuck with it, is Dan Smucker, Dr. Dan Smucker. You've been working on a book as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that real quick?
Is this where I can do my shameless plug?
Yeah, go ahead and plug it.
Well, it's actually a series of short essays, and the topics include abortion, but it's certainly not limited to abortion. I deal with healing from drugs and alcohol and some of my own personal experiences and losses, and it's based on a lot of experiences that I've had in the counseling industry, both mental health and substance abuse, as well as some of my own tragedies that I've gone through, dealing with suicide and things like that. So it covers a large range of topics, and I'm just hoping that the Lord will use it for an instrument of healing for a lot of people.
When can we expect to see this out, and what's the name of it?
Well, the proposed name of it is Thinking Outside the Box Before You're Laid Out in One.
Okay.
And I don't really have a target date on its release yet, but I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and make sure you join us again tomorrow, because abortion is a symptom of a much deeper problem, and one that we're all faced with, and that is sin. But it has a global agenda. It is something that we're facing today, and Dr. Dan and I were privy to a little information by a very interesting guest named Reverend Kurt Tomlin. Now, Reverend Kurt Tomlin wasn't always a reverend. He worked for John F. Kennedy's battle staff at one time, and then was given a very high-ranking job in the Pentagon, where he worked on research and development for microchips that would be planted under the skin. And I know there's a lot of information, a lot of misinformation that's out there to try and scare people or to sell books. But tomorrow, we're going to relay some of that information to you that we got from Reverend Kurt Tomlin, somebody credible, somebody reliable, and somebody trustable that had some information about some of the things that we may be facing here in the future. You don't want to miss this. Well, thank you all for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Please join us again tomorrow with Dr. Dan Smucker as we speak about the great and mighty God and the many wonderful ways throughout the world to serve Him. Have a great day, and God bless.
This is Sandra Tipton. At the end of February, this program will go off the air. We hope that you've enjoyed what you've heard here at Radio Friendships. It has been a joy and an honor to work with American Family Radio in order to present the stories of people around the world advancing the kingdom of God. On behalf of Jeff, Don, and I, and the crew here at Port Mercy, we encourage you with all of our hearts to follow the call of God. He created us for a purpose, and Jesus can be trusted to lead and guide us. He will never forsake us, and it's one decision you will never regret. We appreciate you joining us these past 23 months and hope that you'll continue to check our website at www.friendships.org for updates on our activities. Remember, too, that all of our shows have been podcast on the site and will remain there for you to listen to on demand whenever you would like. In the future, we hope to develop a media website where you may continue to hear our broadcasts and enjoy video presentations. Again, thank you for joining us and for all your love and support.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337 833-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.